Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, back to the closing verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We have come, if you may recall the broadcast yesterday, to a very sobering, very thought-provoking, very weighty, but very instructive verse of Scripture, or a couple of verses of Scripture, closing out this second chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul says in verse 15, "For we are to God," speaking about himself and other preachers, "we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life, and who is sufficient for these things?" But that's not where the chapter ends. There's one more verse to close it out, and so we'll have to look at verse 17 to wrap it all up. But first, I want to stop and welcome you to the Beacon Broadcast on this Tuesday, September 27. Thank you for tuning in, and to thank you for considering the financial needs that we have in order to keep teaching God's Word on this station. Paul is talking about the Word of God as it goes out and the fact that it has different results as intended by God. That's clear from the passage. And that's the part that some people seem to stumble over. There seems to be the idea that as God's Word goes out, God's intention is always that His Word result in faith and in conversion. And when that doesn't happen, then that negative result was not God's intention. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that God is in control of both results, and God intends both results. The aroma of death unto death is as much an intended purpose of God in the proclamation of the gospel as the aroma of life unto life. In the one case, the very same message of the gospel produces salvation, conversion, the new birth, that powerful gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, goes forth and it does its saving work. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's what God intended, but there's the other side that is just as much God's intention, because sometimes God intends that that word will go forth as a messenger not of life, not of conversion, not of salvation, but of death, but of condemnation. And that's God's intention as well. And Paul says, these are weighty matters. These are weighty matters for the preacher to realize that in proclaiming the gospel, on the one hand, he's proclaiming a message which is intended by God to save souls. We all rejoice over that. But to realize that as he preaches the gospel, that gospel goes forth, and sometimes it goes forth to accomplish the God-intended purpose of, as it were, sealing the doom, producing death and eternal destruction in the lives of others. That's a very weighty matter, but a very important matter. It's liberating, actually, for the pastor, the preacher, to come to that realization. If he doesn't come to that realization, he's going to have a wrong view of God and a wrong view of Scripture and a wrong view of salvation, but he's also going to have a wrong view of the work of evangelism and the cause of the results that take place. If he thinks that the proclamation of the gospel should always produce conversions, and he preaches it, and it doesn't produce that, then he will assume that he did something wrong. And so, therefore, maybe I didn't preach it right. Maybe I didn't package it right. Maybe I didn't do this right. Maybe I didn't do that right. Maybe if I would, and who knows all the different possibilities that could be considered. Maybe if I'd preach a little more loudly. Maybe if I'd preach a little more softly. Maybe if I would who knows what. The results in that case are assumed by the preacher to be his responsibility, and if the results are not favorable in the sense of producing conversions, then he assumes that he isn't doing something right, he needs to change, or, broadening it out a little bit, if the church he's pastoring isn't seeing a lot of positive results, then obviously the church needs to change its approach. Well, if the church and the preacher, whichever we're talking about, is not proclaiming the gospel faithfully and clearly, of course it ought to change its approach. But if it is doing that, there is nothing that ought to be changed. There is nothing really that can be changed that's going to produce a different result. In fact, to make changes that will alter the faithful proclamation of the gospel in order to produce a more desirable result are actually going to do the opposite. They are going to deceive people. They're going to confuse people. It is going to produce unbelief because the message was not proclaimed accurately. It's going to produce deception. It's going to produce counterfeit conversions. It's going to produce all kinds of things that are undesirable when we think that we are responsible for the results. We, human instruments, are not responsible for the results. We are responsible for faithful proclamation. We are responsible for accuracy. We are responsible for proclamation, but we are not responsible for the results. God is. He has indifferent intentions, according to his own purposes, from the same proclamation of the gospel. Back to verse 15, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." The fragrance of Christ is, we are the fragrance of Christ to both of these categories. No difference. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Indeed, it's a weighty matter. For we are not, he goes on now, the last verse to wrap up what I've already explained, but to make it very clear, for we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. We're not like many preachers. We're not like many Christians. We're not like many evangelists. We're not like many human instruments. The word many there could be and often is translated by the majority. We're not peddlers. We're not hucksters. We're not salesmen who will shape their approach for better results. That's the way salesmen do. But the ministry is not a business. And the proclamation of the gospel is not something that can be shaped and molded for better results. God's word is not something that is sold. And we can't alter the product to make it more appealing to the customer so that we can sell more of it to reap greater benefits. But rather, Paul says we're not like that, not like the many who do it that way. And we can see that in our day when it comes to the work of the gospel. But we're not like people who are shaping the message and shaping the methods in order to produce what they consider to be more desirable results, which actually turn out to be the opposite. But rather, he says, we are like the few who are sincere, that is, openly transparent, who are conscientious and subservient to God, they belong to God, and speak in the sight of God in His presence, conscious of His inspection, and are divinely enabled in what they do. In Christ, in communion with Christ, and a member of His body, and energized by His Spirit. Those who minister like salesmen, like hucksters, like peddlers, are not pleasing to God. Those who minister like ambassadors who proclaim the message that has been delivered to them and they deliver it to others, those are the ones that receive God's approval. We're not supposed to be seeking human approval, but rather we are seeking God's approval and His alone. We are not concerned about what others think in evaluating our results. We have to shed that desire to be thought successful in the eyes of others, because the only thing that matters is that we be faithful in the eyes of God. And so we need to remember that ultimate victory is in the gospel of Christ, and it will accomplish salvation at times because God has purposed it, and so it shall. But it will not produce conversions at other times for the very same reason, because God has purposed that it shall not always produce conversions, but sometimes it will seal damnation. Either way, the gospel is honored, Christ is honored, God is honored, and the messenger who is faithful is pleasing to God. The point is that God's word, unaltered, is sufficient to accomplish His purposes. We need to believe that. We need to have confidence in that. Our inspection of self is not to say, what could I have done to have produced better results? The inspection of ourselves in this work of the gospel is, am I endeavoring to please self or Christ? Am I being faithful to the message regardless of whether it seems to produce the results that I would love for it to produce or not? Because the success of gospel proclaimers lies in the hands of God, not in the hands of the gospel proclaimer, not in the mouth of the gospel proclaimer. And when the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, it will always produce the results that God purposes for it to produce. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.